Here's the 1 hour a week workshop format.
Let me have it.
So here's what I want you to know. And when you do this, Mike, I'm going to teach you not how to just do this for marketing, but as a consultant, you take this and you teach them how to do it for every division of their company, for accounting, for accounts receivable, for inventory management. This is the format of a 1 hour a week workshop. It can take the format of a brainstorming session. It can take brain writing and all that. But here's the general format. First principle is...
Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. Here is another interview with Bill Beaudry. Bill has done a series of interviews for HMA consultants, and this guy is just amazing. I want to tell you a little bit about Bill's background. Bill is an expert in marketing, creativity, innovation, and peak human performance with wide international experience in a variety of fields. He holds a master's degree in engineering and an MBA from Cornell University and a master's degree in clinical nutrition. His background before becoming a private consultant includes positions as a management consultant for Booz Allen in Hamilton, engineer for Eastman Kodak in IBM, investment strategist for Citibank Asia, director of research for various Wall Street firms, and direct investment specialist for Hong Kong and China. Bill now living and working between New York, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. He has written a number of management, marketing, and mind training books, including Kuan Tzu's Supreme Secret for the Global CEO, How to Write a $1 Million USP, the Claude Hopkins Rare Advertising Manual and Study Guide. In this next recording on creativity and brainstorming, you're going to learn a lot of practical advice that you can use in your consulting business. This recording is about 60 minutes. It's in two parts, broken down to 30 minutes each. Enjoy. All right, Bill, nice to have you back here. What are you going to teach me today?
Well, I'm going to teach you something that they never teach you in these marketing courses. They don't even teach you in school, whether it's high school or college. And this is how to be an innovative thinker, how to do brainstorming, how to create new products or get new ideas for marketing or advertising. It's not really just limited to marketing and advertising. This is where I made most of my money. Wall Street firms used to hire me to come up with rules that they would program into computers to tell them when to buy and sell. And so what I want to teach people is you don't necessarily need this for marketing, but you can use this in your life in so many different areas. It's how to do brainstorming and come up with really innovative ideas. But we'll shade it a little bit towards marketing, but you can use it for all sorts of things.
There's systems and techniques that will allow you to come through with breakthroughs?
Yeah, and you know, the big thing is think deeply. There's a Chinese sage called Guanzi, and he said, look, if you want to really solve a problem, just think deeply about it, and then finally you'll come up with a breakthrough that sort of defies convention. Actually, though, in the marketing field, you just need incremental improvement. You just add a little tweak on a proven and established concept you borrow from somebody else. That's really what you need in the marketing. The big thing is basically try to get a systematic process of idea generation or checking off possibilities for marketing. So, for instance, your HMA consultants, you know, you go into a business and you'll have a checklist. All right, let's take a look at the copywriting. Did we change the heading on this? If the guy sending out a letter, did he sign his name or did he hand address the letters or use a machine to do that? Do you know what I mean?
You
have a checklist for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You start checking it off. Okay, let's do the USP first. Let's do sales training, or let's do database mining, you just check them off, and all of a sudden, if you get the guys to implement just checking this off, I mean, you're an innovator going in there, even though everything is old stuff to you, but you will see the business improve by leaps and bounds. By the end of this conversation, I'm going to give you a systematic way before sitting down with a group of people in a company and getting those best ideas.
All right, let's do it.
All right. But before we get there, what I wanted to tell people is usually you don't have to think, you know, I can't create new ideas. Most everything you see that's an innovation in marketing, or what we call an innovation, is basically you're robbing and duplicating something. Okay, you're running a pizza place, and you see something that the dry cleaner is doing or the carpet cleaner is doing, and you just copy it and you change it for your business. It's not like you have to brainstorm something that's new, you know, and test it and improve it, and then systematize it and automate. That's one way of doing it, where you get a bunch of people in a room. Or you do it yourself, you know, you brainstorm new ideas, and then you test them, and then you improve them incrementally, and you systemize it. That's what I'm used to doing, because I'm used to doing that just by myself. Or you can do that with a group. But what you can do is just take any marketing idea that you see that's applied to another industry and apply to the industry that you're consulting for. Or if we have somebody who's running your own business who's listening to this, you just do that for your own business. this is sort of the idea of benchmarking in a way. It's like one of the first things we want to talk about. And Xerox is the one that invented it. Mike, I'm sure you're familiar with benchmarking.
I'm not.
All right. Well, benchmarking is just known as best practices, where it's similar to this, but a little different, where you have certain practices in your business, like, let's say, order fulfillment, shipping, advertising, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you go out and you compare your practices with those of a firm that's considered the best.
Okay.
At that particular practice, even if it's not in your industry, and then you just copy them and you improve it with adaptation.
I like that.
Yeah, and Xerox is the one that invented this. Big firms will do this. They'll say, well, our order entry department is really lousy, so then they'll go to, you know, L&L Bean or somebody who's very good at order entry or something of that nature, and they'll see, what are they doing? Let's go back, re-engineer our process, and just make it as good as possible using the other guy as the benchmark.
And Xerox did this?
Oh, Xerox, yeah. They invented this, and they did this in many, many different areas, and this spread in the auto industry everywhere. And for the little guys that you're consulting for, well, if you're the marketing consultant, you're seeing so many firms out there, and you know who's doing better one phase of the business than another guy, so you just tell them what to do. Or if you're trying to do it yourself, just read a lot. And that's the benefit of reading Forbes magazine or Entrepreneur magazine, is that you read lots of stories, and then you can do benchmarking naturally. Small firms, Mike, they need good consultants, like the HMA consultant, because they're worth their weight in gold. The clients don't want to pay money, but if you can show them how they're going to save money using you, you can prove that you are worth your weight in gold, because clients hire consultants for two things. One is their experience, and then their innovative abilities. Basically, the innovative abilities are just what I said. It's not you have to brainstorm something out of the blue. You basically have the ability to take something from another industry and apply it to this new industry that you're working with. And that's why marketing consultants are very, very important. They can tell you what's wrong, and they give a client various models with a higher likelihood of success. You still have to test everything. But a client needs somebody from the outside, usually, to come in and do that, because they have a clean way of looking at things. And maybe it's not necessarily that you've been in the pool and spa industry, so you know what everybody's doing, so you just take that same experience and give it to another pool and spa person. Is you might be in the landscaping area and see something that the gardening guys or the pool and spa people are doing, and take that concept and bring it in. And that's what innovation. You're not innovating, you're just borrowing.
Why is it so hard when you're the business owner and it's your business, it's so hard for you to do it on your business?
Too close to the problem. Or you've been doing a certain thing a certain way and you don't want to change. People hate change. Okay, so they hate change. Second is a lot of people have too much problems with implementation. You know, it's a dirty secret in the success tapes business, the motivational crowd business, that 95% of the people who even bother to buy these tapes never do anything with them.
95%?
95.
And never listen to them or never implement?
Never listen to them.
Either. Never even get through them?
Yeah, never even get through them. And, you know, people are busy, or the people that want to do it, they're busy, or they just don't have time, or they just don't see it. Some people don't see it. It's a whole smorgasbord of problems. Everybody has their own weakest link or set of weakest links. And if you just improve those weakest links, whatever they are, sometimes they're really trivial things. Okay, like, oh, geez, just change the headlines on your ads.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trivial thing. Boom, all the business goes up. But people need somebody to tell them to do it. They're too busy, they're tired, or they just don't know. That's what's killing them.
I'm the same way, and I'm sure you're the same way, as far as we know probably hundreds of things we should do for our businesses to make improvements. And my philosophy is, I know myself good enough that I am simply not going to do it myself, and I hire it out.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets done.
And you know what it is? You have to create the habit of hiring it out. Because people say, I don't want to spend money on that. But you know, the difference is, you might go to Elance or Rent-A-Coder for $50 or $200, and you get it done, and the return is $10,000 or $200,000. And it's money you wouldn't have had, but you don't want to pay that out of pocket.
Well, let me give you an illustration. I did an interview. This is with a gentleman named Sam Bowman, and it's up here on the HMA University page. And if this guy was trained by Richard through the HMA system almost 7 years ago, and he's in Nashville, Tennessee, and for all these years, the way he got clients is he hired out a telemarketer to make the calls. He started doing it himself, him and his wife, cold calling business prospects, but it wasn't working. He looked in the Yellow Pages, he hired it out, he trained a teleprospector, and he did the numbers on this, and 4 hours of teleprospecting to cold leads within the geographic and the financial categories of the ideal prospect that Richard recommended. recommend you go after, he was able to book a good solid appointment. That's 4 hours of calling. Now, he paid his telemarketers $15 an hour, so that's $60 a day. He could close 50%. So for every two appointments he went on, he would close one for an average contract between $10,000 and $15,000. So by hiring it out, even though he paid $60 a day, look what it brought him as long as he went on the appointments.
And when you think about it, he was hiring out what he's weakest at.
Yeah.
Or what would just zap his motivation, zap his energy, that would just have this overhang on the rest of his business.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's one of the keys. You know, if you're bad at something, hire it out to somebody who's better at it.
And don't look at it as an expense. It's an investment. Him hiring it out was the greatest return he probably has ever made in anything.
You know, there are all these mental tricks you have to play with yourself. It's like making cold calls. If you know that you're going to go through 100 cold calls before you get two sales, and each cold call then is worth $15 to you on average versus what the final sale is when you make it, you play the mental trick is you go through the cold call and you say, well, I just made $15 or I just made $40, even when they said no, because you know by the law of averages you're getting closer to the sale. And if you look at it that way, it'll keep you motivated. And, you know, marketing, when we're talking about the human factor, is a lot of psychology like this. And you got to use all these little tricks to get you going.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take these tricks and you can tell them, as an HMA consultant, you tell them to the people out there and you say, this is what you tell yourself. And they'll say, thank you, because they'll use it. Your clients will use it and it will help them increase their sales. And that came from you. Now, we were talking about suggestion program initially, and we'll get to that at the very end of this call, but what I wanted to mention now, besides the benchmarking, is the people who are really best at this are the Japanese.
Right.
Okay, and what they do is they have a system to get the really best ideas from the people, but the key to, you know, all those systems are is you have to reward people with recognition. So you can try to put people under deadlines, under pressure, so they can come up with great ideas, because that stimulates more right brain activity. But if you want really good ideas, create some type of suggestion programs or some type of brainstorming program where people are recognized for when they come up with a great idea. If it's up to you yourself, always have an idea notebook. A lot of people tell you, always carry around a little notebook. You can put it in your pocket with a pen so you can write down your idea, or you get up at night, you wake up with a brainstorm, write it down. I don't know how many times, you know, I keep a pen and paper by the bed, but sometimes I couldn't find the light switch.
Right.
You wake up with a great idea and you know it's a good idea, but then you forget it in the morning because you think you're going to remember it. You got to write the ideas down, otherwise your good ideas are going to be lost forever.
I'll give you an example of recognition and how to benefit from that, because I just did it. It was the last interview I did with Richard, and I sent out an email to about 1,000 people on my list, letting them know that I'll be interviewing Richard about marketing consultant, and this also went out to the HMA consultants, and the person who came back with the best two questions would win $500 worth anything on my site that they can use to buy off my site. And I got so many great questions that I picked and used for the interview, and yeah, it cost me $500 in trade, but the quality of that interview is far superior than if I had never offered the gift, number one, but I also offered the recognition by posting the two names of the winners up on the site for everyone to see.
And this process, too, of asking people for ideas, you know, in the ebook field, we call that posting a flycatcher page, where before you even write a book, for instance, you put up a one-page website which says, hi, I'm thinking of writing a book on orchids. And, you know, I'm just completing it. I want to make it the best possible. So, tell you what, if you write down, and you leave them a big box, your biggest question on orchids, send it to me. Then when my book is done, I'll send you a copy for free.
All right.
And what you do is you grab all these ideas from people. People are doing that in the seminar business. People are doing that to create products. They say, what's your biggest problem? And they're putting up all these pages or on email links. People then are coming in with all these product ideas. And then people go out and then they just go to Rent-A-Coder or they go to Elance, have somebody create the product, and then they go, and what do? Then they just go sell it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so easy to do that, where what you're doing is you're coming up with some systematic way to grab other people's ideas. All right. Now, if you have to do it yourself, you know, people always say, well, what do I do to become more creative? And, you know, one thing you do is you try to listen to music. For some reason, music from Mozart, Haydn, the classical composers, is really good for stimulating people's brains and creativity. There's all sorts of studies that have proven that. And people think it's because of the relative dominance of high frequencies in that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want your kids to be geniuses, you play Mozart, Mozart and all these classical composers in the background.
Have they proven that? I mean, I have for my kids all the videos, the baby Mozart, baby Einstein, baby Bach.
Lots of studies on it. Lots of studies. I mean, if you play Mozart and classical composers before you do an SAT test or while you're studying for a test, the scores are much, much, much higher than versus not having music or having rock music.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you do these tests and you play classical music versus, let's say, rock music, and then you put this in front of a plant or even in front of animals. I don't remember how they tested in front of animals. The growth is usually stunted for the animals or the plant with the rock music, but with classical music versus no music at all, there's always a growth spurt.
Oh, interesting.
The growth is amplified. So there's been lots of stuff that actually proves that. Now, you know, one of the things that people need to learn how to do is mind mapping. And mind mapping is a way for improving a business or a marketing campaign. And it was created by Tony Buzan of Learning Message Group. And it's based on the fact that a brain works with concepts in sort of an interrelated, integrated manner. What you do is you get a piece of paper, and in the center of the piece of paper, you write in a word and you circle it. Let's say you're talking about orchids growing, growing orchids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you put that in the center, and then what you do is you branch out on that page. You use a whole page with lines, and you have one branch comes out, and you write the word water and circle it. You have another branch that would come out and would say sunlight and circle it. And every circle that you do branches out into factors that you might control or tinker with. So you can come up with this whole sort of brain or mind mapping of what you can, or the factors that you can fiddle with in order to increase orchid growth. Anybody can go to a website and you'll find a picture of mind mapping. Immediately you'll know what I'm talking about. You don't have to buy any of these $15, $20 books because in 1 minute you'll understand what it is.
Right.
And you can do that for, let's say, a marketing campaign where you take the key concept of the marketing campaign and you draw a mind map of it, and it's sort of an individual brain brainstorming process where you're connecting your thoughts without any rules and you're getting all your ideas out in a really quick fashion before you lose them, for you to figure out all the factors you have to tinker with for a marketing campaign where you're trying to create a new product. Okay? When people have touched upon some really strange topics here, but we're talking about innovation and creativity, a lot of people purposely train themselves to be able to dream the solution to their problem. All right? And Thomas Edison would always sleep on it. He would sleep on his problems. In fact, what Thomas Edison used to do when he'd have a difficult problem, he'd sit there in a chair and he'd try to get into a state where he's half asleep, half awake, and he'd be holding ball bearings in his hand.
He really did this?
Yeah, and what he would do is, because all these guys, turn of the century, would do this, because it works. If you train yourself, it doesn't work the first time, the 10th time, or the 30th time, but if you get into the habit of doing this, you can get into this. And what he would do is, when he would fall asleep, he'd sort of be in this hypnagogic state, his hand would sort of open up and all the ball bearings would drop on a tin plate below, and that sound would wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd sort of be in the middle state between sleeping and dreaming, and what he would do is he would try to use that state to solve his problem.
Wow.
Okay, and there's lots of ways where people learn to control their dreams after a while. You know, they try to do what's called lucid dreaming in order to learn how to solve their problem. And quite a few people, a lot of scientists, have solved problems that way through their dream. In fact, Mike, you know the sewing machine needle?
Oh, the sewing machine needle.
Yeah, the sewing machine needle was invented by the inventor of the sewing machine. One day he was working on this problem for years, and then he had a dream of cannibals holding spears in their hands, chasing him. And he looked in the dream, and he could see the spears all had holes in them.
Oh, wow.
And when he realized that, hey, the spears had holes, he woke up and he realized, oh, I got to make the needle.
That's wild.
Yeah. And German chemist Kokola, he dreamed of a benzene ring with a snake biting its own tail, and that's how he was able to finally come up with what was the big problem in organic chemistry, what a benzene ring looked like.
Okay.
Now, there's other sort of mental imaging type processes that a lot of people do. There's the process of visualization. Edison had a contemporary called Tesla, who was far more inventive than Edison.
Okay.
And Tesla, what he could do is he just practiced his imagination so good that he could have visualized an entire invention like a machine and see how all the parts fit together. And Richard Feynman, for instance, he was a Nobel Prize winner in physics. And what he used to do is he practiced so that he could visualize all these mathematical formulas in his head and solve them in his head by actually seeing them on a chalkboard and using different colors for parts of the equation. So there's all sorts of visualization techniques that people have learned to use, and it takes practice. There's a lot of locksmiths I know who've written books on how they use visualization to see what in the world the lock looks like inside and how to break the lock.
Well,
right. Now, you don't need this type of information as a marketer, but I'm just telling you, we're going to go hog wild on this whole field because this is something that I've used for a variety of different fields for years. If somebody is an engineer, for instance, this is something a lot of people don't know about. There is a field called TRIZ. TRIZ is the T-R-I-Z. You can look it up on the internet. It's called the Theory of Inventive Problem Solving.
Okay.
And this was invented by a Russian, a Soviet patent expert. Like Einstein was a patent expert. This guy's name was Genrik Altshuler. And there's an institute today, the Altshuler Institute, and his name is A-L-T-S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy analyzed over 400,000 patents. Okay, and today they've analyzed over 2 million patents to find, get this, Mike, objective laws to use in inventing physical engineering products.
Common denominators within the products.
Yeah, like, okay, let's use a change of state. Like at Easter time, you know, they have these chocolate bunnies and you bite into them, they have a creamy inside.
Right.
Okay, well, how do you do that? I mean, do you, like, make the chocolate and inject it with the cream? What they do is they put the cherry cream in a mold, freeze it, and then put the bunny around it. Okay, so they use a change of state to create that type particular product because later the bunny will melt. So, you know, when you have problems like that, how in the world do we handle this problem? All you do is you look up on this table that they invented, what type of problem you have, where are the three or four types of engineering solutions that are used to solve this, and this is something that engineers and companies can learn. And if somebody wasn't a marketing consultant, they wanted to be an engineering consultant, I would say right away, go learn this, because it's a structured form of creative thinking for problem solving in engineering that very few people know about. But this is a way to really learn how to actually build or create new physical products. And a lot of people actually are starting to try to create Altshuler TRIZ type solutions for marketing and public policy and political affairs. They're trying to do the same type of thing.
And what's the website called again?
You can just look up TRIZ, and it's called the Theory of Inventive Problem Solving. Just look up TRIZ. There's nothing else like TRIZ. It's systematic invention creation.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. So another big thing is a lot of people have heard this, and this is what we'll get into, is brainstorming.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to teach you eventually how you do a marketing brainstorming technique with a group of people. And one thing, if you're lucky, if you can get a copy of it, Doug Hall, who wrote Jump Start Your Business Brain, which we've talked about before, it's a
right.
really great marketing book. His firm has a video out, and this video shows him at one of his invention sessions. You know, one of his, oh, this is probably a $200,000 invention session for Tyson Chicken.
Is this guy an inventor, Doug Hall?
Well, Doug Hall used to be a product manager at Procter & Gamble, where you're a marketing expert if you're at Procter & Gamble. And what he did was he came out and said, how can we systemize the idea of product innovation?
Mm-hmm.
New product invention. And there's quite a few brainstorming techniques that he uses, and you can actually see them in play in the video. It's pretty amazing. And the whole idea of brainstorming came from this guy, Alex Osborne, and he worked for an advertising firm, Batten, Barton, Durstein, and Osborne, if I remember correctly. And the idea of brainstorming is you use your brain to storm a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the rules for brainstorming are the following. You know, I mentioned a way you can do it yourself through mind mapping, but if you have a group of people, you put them in a room, you close the door, you have lots of variety and stimulus, and you say, look, there's no judgments, no negatives made about any idea that anybody's going to suggest during this session. All ideas, even crazy ideas or absurd ideas, are welcome.
Okay.
And the quantity of ideas is important. You want a big quantity of ideas. And ideas can be combined, and you have a group leader who basically guides and facilitates the group, and a secretary is there recording the ideas. And you don't want any negativity, because you're always going to have people who are negative.
Right.
These guys are spoiled for it. It doesn't take any courage to kill a new idea, Mike. It takes courage to see how you can take an idea and change it to make it work. So brainstorming is one idea, but here's one that people can start right away. It's called brain writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is pretty neat. If you can get a group of people together who have a common goal, they're all together, and they'll do it, then this is useful besides brainstorming. Brain writing is you get a bunch of participants, and they sit in a circle, and each writes down their ideas to solve a problem on a piece of paper, and then they pass it to their neighbor. And then the neighbor looks at it and adds ideas to improve it, and you just go around three times. The first round is just 2 minutes. The second round is about 5 minutes. The next round is another 5 minutes, and you just do that. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Oh, I like that.
And it's very, very quick. So let's say you want to do a marketing brainstorming meeting. So one week you might try a brainstorming meeting, and you might have a brain writing meeting the next day. Because in brainstorming, you want people to say it out loud. But a lot of people, you know, Mike, they're afraid to say anything out loud.
Mm-hmm.
They're fearful. So with brain writing, it forces them to write something down. And what they're doing is they write their own idea. That's passed on to somebody else who improves it, and that's passed on to somebody else who improves that, as well as they're receiving an idea from somebody else. So you get lots of ideas. Okay, and then what somebody does is they pick that up, and then they pick up all the papers at the very end. And it's up to them, the company culture, as to what works best, whether the guy picks it up and walks away with it, or if he writes it on the board and he turns it into a brainstorming group from there. You know, that all depends.
Right.
Another type of brainstorming idea is called brain writing. This was an idea or procedure developed in Germany. This is a little bit different. If you get a group of six or eight people and they sit at a table writing their idea.
Right.
Like, okay, so Mike would say, you'd be there, and Mike's the HMA consultant, say, all right, let's figure out some way that we can increase the number of leads for selling more pogo sticks.
Okay.
All right.
This is the end of part one, exclusive training for the HMA consultants with Bill Beaudry. Please continue to part two. Here is another bonus I want you to know about, extremely valuable. If you go to another site of mine called Executive Audio Institute, that's executiveaudioinstitute.com, all together, no slashes, you will see a site with nothing but all my audio recordings, all in downloadable MP3 form. Now, these are the same recordings that I have on hardtofindseminars.com in the audio clip section, except I will offer you the reprint rights to all of these audio recordings. In other words, I'm going to hand them to you on a silver platter. If you have a website and you need something that generates traffic, I will set up a custom site for you, and you can send your visitors to my collection of audio recordings as a bonus. You have here thousands of dollars worth of audio content on some of the best interviews on the internet. You have hundreds of transcripts that you can print out and share with your customers. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. I'll even build you a custom site. All you have to do is put a small deposit down, but it's refundable once you introduce it to your list. Go on over to executiveaudioinstitute.com and read the first part. You'll see a link. If you want the reprint rights to these audios, it'll explain everything there. I think you're going to find this extremely valuable. It has taken me years and years to build up this collection, to get them all edited, to put the transcript. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in this collection, and I want you to have it. Go check it out, executiveaudioinstitute.com.